Psalm 124. As we continue this morning in our series through the Psalms of Ascent, just in case you're not familiar, don't want to assume that you all are, Psalms are a collection of poetry found in the Bible. This very long book right smack dab in the middle, if you just plop it open. It's a songbook for God's people, memorized through singing them over and over in temple worship. And as poetry, they do this unique thing where they convey truth about God, but they also stir our emotions. Many have said that they are helpful for connecting the head with the heart. And the Psalms of Ascent are this specific collection of 15 psalms from 120 to 134 that were used by the people of God as they ascended up to Jerusalem three times a year for these great feasts. And they probably made it through these 15 psalms multiple times on each journey. So the content here would have had some time to sink in over the course of time. We've seen some important themes already in the first four that we've covered these last 4 weeks. Looking to God for deliverance, looking to Him for help, looking to the peace that comes from assembling with His people. Last week, looking to Him for mercy. This morning, in 124, we're going to see this joyous, confident celebration of God's gracious help. So I'm going to read the psalm for us, and then we're going to take a look at what all this help entails. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us His prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is God's inspired, inerrant, infallible, and authoritative word. Let's go to Him in prayer now. Holy Spirit, we look to You now for yet another of Your helps to us. Would You take this word that You inspired, and would You illumine it for us? Would You cast Your light on it for us so that we might understand? Would You enable our thinking, bent and broken though it is because of the fall? Would You remove the scales from our eyes? Would You unstop our ears? Would You take this word and would You use it deeply in our hearts? Would You use it for our good and also for the Lord's glory? We expect Your help. We look to it in faith. Be with us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So this is all about our help that we receive from the Lord. Apparently, it's something that needs to sink in over and over again, as it, like these other Psalms of Ascent, would have been on heavy rotation. So let's unpack this a little bit. 4 points in your outline in the bulletin, if that's a help to you. Our help, number one, is a reality to remember and to retell. And I love how David sets this psalm up right here in verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side. This is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving, and as such, it's looking back. It's looking back and remembering, and the if here is purely and gloriously hypothetical. For the people of God, the Lord not being on our side is purely hypothetical. It will never, ever happen. Let that sink in for just a second. For God's people, His not being on our side is hypothetical. God's help is the norm for his people. Always. All the time. We can expect nothing less than his ever-present help. God's help for his people is a certain reality. Now, I'm going to try to show you in just a moment why it is such a certain reality. And I hope that it will just blow the doors off of our fearful and doubting hearts. But for now, suffice it to say that it is a reality for his people. And as such, it doesn't depend on our feelings. It doesn't depend on our analysis of our present situation where we might say, well, gee, it really doesn't seem like he's on my side right now. It really doesn't seem like he's all that present. It really doesn't seem like he's helping. God's help isn't contingent on any of that. Not our belief, not our emotions. When it comes to God's help, there's no wondering if. Gosh, is he going to help this time? Will he? There's none of that. It's a certain reality. Now, if it is a certain reality, let's already begin to think about some application here. How can we live this out if it is a certain reality? Well, the psalm shows us right here. If it is a certain reality, we live it out by declaring that very reality to one another. Remembering it and declaring it to one another. That's what this "Let Israel now say." So David starts off, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. And it's as if they reply back in chorus together with a resounding, let Israel, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. There's something to declare here. There's something to engage in here. And there's a couple of ways that you can do this. The first is from your own experience. From your own experience, bear witness. Give thanks and praise publicly. And so we do that by saying to each other in conversation, you know what? If it had not been for the Lord, that diagnosis would have been my undoing. Or you say to another person, you know what? If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, then that, and you fill in the blank with whatever it is, right? Then that loss of my job, then when my spouse walked out on me, whatever it is, you fill in the blank as you're talking to your neighbor, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I would have been undone. It's a reality that we have to remember and declare to one another. From our own experience, but also in community, there's another way that we can do this too. As we spur one another on, kind of being like David saying, all right, let Israel say it together now. You look to your neighbor and you say, you know what, brother, or you know what, sister, I see that you've been through this horrible struggle. And I recognize that if it had not been the Lord who was on your side, you would have been toast, but clearly he was there. You know, I've seen that that you've been struggling with this rebellious child. And surely, if it had not been for the Lord, you wouldn't have made it. Can you do that for each other? Will you do that for each other? Because that's a huge part of what true biblical fellowship is all about. You know, start with the weather, start with football. Oh, the football. Jeez. But move on from there, right? Use those things to get warmed up, but then as you go deeper with each other in relationship, in true fellowship, look for those opportunities. You know, I see where you went through this recently. Blessed be the Lord that he didn't leave you. Blessed be the Lord that he was on your side there. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't he good to his people? Isn't he this ever-present source of help? I hope that we'll do that for each other, because God's help is a reality that needs to be remembered and retold. Secondly, God's help for us, our help, is a never-ending necessity. You see, there's a real historical context in which David wrote this psalm, right? Something was going on for David that prompted him, with the Spirit's inspiration, to write this psalm down. Possibly, this could have been early on in his kingdom when things weren't looking so great right off the bat. When he was recently anointed as king and then the Philistines immediately attack. And there are these two huge battles. You can look in 2 Samuel 5 to read about them, where the Philistines come. And David really could have been snuffed out before he even got started. But the Lord was on his side. The Lord was there to help. His help for David and for God's people was a reality. So perhaps that's what is sparking this psalm. That's what's sparking David to say, "Oh, if the Lord hadn't been on our side." Let everybody say it together. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, we would have been swallowed up alive. But the Lord was on his side. One of the wonderful things about the Psalms is that they tend to be written broadly enough that they can have a wide array of application. That this psalm was written broadly enough that it could have applied to a lot of situations in Israel's history, right? There were lots of things that God's people could have looked back to and then recited this psalm about, right? It could have been their escape from Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. It could have been their escape from the Amalekites in the wilderness. It could have been their escape from this king. It could have been their escape from over and over and over again. All of these opportunities at which God's people could have said this very thing. If it hadn't been the Lord on our side, we would have been toast. Blessed be the Lord. It's not just the outside enemies either. Very often Israel was her own worst enemy. Right? Very often it was her own sinfulness and rebellion and idolatry that necessitated rescue over and over again. Our help is a never-ending necessity. Guess what? Things haven't changed that much for the people of God today. Right? We're still in this never-ending need of help. We face just as many enemies as Israel did. Paul summed up the enemies that we face: the world, flesh, and the devil. Right, that pretty much captures it all. Think about those for a minute. The world hates Christ followers. It does. Now, for those of us in this room, we're not facing enemies like Pharaoh and the Amalekites, the Philistines, who were literally trying to wipe out the people of God. Now, we're not. But at this very moment, our brothers and sisters around the world are facing literally that type of threat from an enemy. Even if we're not facing that type of a physical, literal attack this morning, we're still facing the world as our enemy every day. When the world sees us as narrow-minded and ignorant and mean-spirited because of what we believe. So very often we do have enemies in the world. The flesh, gosh, I mean, do I even have to go there every single day, right? We're our own worst enemy. The devil, yes, there is a real enemy who lusts after our defeat. Y'all, there's some real danger for being a Christ follower. There are real enemies out there and in there. Being a pilgrim is hazardous. And that's why this psalm is real and it's raw and it's gritty and it's vivid. It's vivid in its portrayal. Look again at the second half of verse 2. When people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. Can you imagine whatever type of monster or thing this is that could swallow someone whole, alive? Then the flood would have swept over us and the torrent would have gone over us and over us would have gone the raging waters. And so you've got 1, 2, 3, this imagery of this destructive water, flood, torrent, raging waters. And then jumping down to the second half of verse 6, given over as prey to their teeth, escaping like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The need for help never ends. It's important to note here that when it comes to our help, right, the help that God's people receive from Him, it's not a help that keeps us from experiencing trouble. It's not a guarantee of a life of ease. Right? This is not some Pollyanna notion of name it and claim it, and if you have enough faith, then you just won't have to experience the bad stuff. Because that's nonsense. Right? It is not, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And to look at the Lord being on our side is not to say that we won't have to go through storm and fire and flood. But here's what it is saying. Here's what the psalm is doing. This is testimony on the other side. This is testimony from once we've gotten through. This is not saying, oh, we're not going to have to experience it. No, it's not that. It's saying, you know what? I've been to hell and back, but the Lord didn't leave me. He was there. And if we can see that, then that's naturally going to lead us to His help being a precursor of praise. That third point on your outline. There's been all this vivid description of just how tough it was. And then the conclusion, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. God's people were helped, and the result is praise. It's cause for celebration. We've escaped. You know, it seemed like certain doom. There didn't seem like any way out. We were caught in the trap. There was nothing we could do. But then miraculously, the trap broke. We did escape. We are free. Blessed be the Lord. Let me ask you, is this your frequent response to receiving the Lord's help? Is an outburst like, blessed be the Lord, is that your frequent response to having been helped? Or are we even aware of all the times that we are being helped? Friends, we desperately need to be like the one leper and not like the nine. You remember that from Luke 17? Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. But I'm afraid too often we're like the 9 who, man, that's awesome, and we just merrily go on our way. But there was this one, who returned. And with a loud voice, Luke 17 says, he returned with a loud voice and he was praising God. And he fell on his face in front of Jesus. And he praised him. By God's grace, may that become our frequent response to receiving his help. That we'd remember it. That we'd tell each other about it. And that we'd praise him for it. All right, let's look finally to this last point. Our help is gloriously guaranteed. All right, so where is this help found? Is it found in human diligence and hard work and effort? No. It's found in the Lord. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's a couple of things at work here. I want to start with the second half of the verse. What's the basis of God's authority? What's the basis of this power? How is it that he's able to offer such powerful and effective help? He made heaven and earth. He made it all. He made it. He spoke it into being by the word of his power. He spoke all things into existence out of nothing. And so naturally, he's got power and dominion over it. He made it. So he's got the power necessary to offer help. He's got the authority to offer help. Now let's get to this other part, the first part of verse 8. This name of the Lord part. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you look in Scripture, the name often stands for the whole of a person. All of who that person is and all of what he does. So this help is in all of who God is and all of what he's done. Got a little bit of the who part already. He's creator. Let's think about the what he's done part. And here's where it gets interesting. I want to backtrack just a bit to verse 6. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us. Now, what if you just stop right there? Blessed be the Lord. He has not given us. Well, if he's not given us, then who or what has he given? You see, this help is costly. This rescue came with a great price. The gospel tells us that there's a debt that must be paid. If you look at the whole of Scripture, it becomes very clear that God is holy and righteous. Man, not so much. Man, ever since the fall, only sinful all the time, I think is how Genesis puts it. Living in rebellion against this holy and righteous God. And that accrues a great debt. And so here's the reason why our help, why this help from the Lord is gloriously guaranteed. Here's the reason why it is a certain reality for me and for you every single day. Here's how we know with great certainty that the Lord will be on our side, that he will be with us, is that the Lord decided to take this debt upon himself. took on flesh. He became man. He set aside for a time his rights and his glory. Here's the reality of it. Psalm 124 is true for God's people. His help is real. It's guaranteed. It's available. The psalm is true for us because it wasn't true for the Son. Think about that for just a moment. The psalm rings true for us as a psalm of praise and thanksgiving only because Jesus himself endured the opposite of this psalm. Try it for yourself. Go back through the psalm. You see, the Lord was not on his side when people rose up against him. He was swallowed up alive when their anger was kindled against him. The flood swept him away. The torrent went over him. Over him went the raging waters. The Lord has given him as prey to their teeth. The Lord Jesus did not escape like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare was not broken. He did not escape. For Jesus, the Father's absence, the Father's lack of help was not hypothetical. It was reality. Father turned his back on the Son as he bore our sin. So that he would never have to turn his back on you and me. That's the only reason our help is a certain, gloriously guaranteed reality. Is that the Father's help was not there for the Son in the moment when he was our substitute, bearing our sin on the cross. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. He's not given us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's hard to think that Paul didn't have this psalm maybe in the back of his mind when he was writing down Romans 8. We see in 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, if he's on our side, like the psalm says, if God's for us, who can be against us? Hypothetical question. No one, right? Verse 32, here's the reason why. Here's the glorious guarantee. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not along with him graciously give us all things? Blessed be the Lord who didn't give us, but gave his Son in our place. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And you know how Romans 8 ends with this great verses 37 and following. In all these things we're more than conquerors. I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come. Nothing. Nothing's going to enter in that will keep God's help from appearing on the scene for us. Nothing's going to change for us that will keep him from being on our side. If that reality can sink in, would that not give us all this unstoppable, unflappable, unshakable courage and confidence to get off our rear ends and engage with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with whomever, if His help is an ever-present reality, if it's gloriously guaranteed because of what the Son did, what can we not attempt? What can we not risk? Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, tough and troubling and hazardous and difficult though they may be. So I think it's very fitting, and elders, you can come on forward at this time. It's very fitting that we should come to the table when we're talking about the Lord's help. When we're talking about the Lord's help that's been gloriously guaranteed for us through the work of the Son, that the Lord Jesus Himself didn't have the benefit of this psalm for a time. We come to the table because this table is a seal of that glorious guarantee. That's what sacraments are. They're signs and they're seals. And so think about a seal that you've seen that guarantees something, right? Maybe it's something very banal, like the good housekeeping seal of approval on your vacuum cleaner, right? Big deal, all right? A little bit bigger deal, the seal on your diploma from your university or your high school that authenticates that this is the real deal. I didn't print this on my computer, didn't get it off of Etsy or Pinterest or something like that. It's the real deal. It's got the seal. The sacrament is the real deal. It's the seal. And the seal goes on our hearts. All right? We come and we partake. Christ is supernaturally, spiritually present here for those of us coming with expectant, believing hearts. And He's going to take the reality, the promise of God's help found in the gospel, and seal it to our hearts, our fearful and often doubting hearts. And once again, we're going to come and fresh grace is going to be applied. God's help is a reality. Remember that. Let's apply that to your heart. Let's let it sink deep down again. It's never ending. It's always there. It's gloriously guaranteed because of the very shed blood and broken body of Christ that we're celebrating here. Your help is a reality because of what we celebrate and remember here. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, thank You for this seal.